to Pakistan and TTP, the Pakistani Taliban. And I've been following that extremely closely. The TTP is extremely adamant that it wants a Sharia sort of system in Pakistan, that it blames the Pakistani establishment, the army and intelligence for all of the violence. And it does really appear that the Taliban in Afghanistan might not be able to deliver the Pakistani Taliban on the plate, as was probably the expectation. It is also incredibly heartbreaking to witness this assassination campaign in Pakistan as the talks are underway. This is what we experienced in Afghanistan, where assassinations were taking place when talks in Doha were taking place and no one was claiming any sort of responsibility. You spoke about India. India is Afghanistan's traditional and historical friend, but India did abandon Afghanistan. I think there's a lot of anger and disappointment among many who are extremely, you know, close with India, especially the former officials, members of the former security forces. Their visas, for example, were not, issued or extended.
We have 10 seconds, Bilal. We have 10 seconds. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Just 10 seconds to wrap.
I think in that sense, India is seen abandoning Afghanistan. But on the other hand, it's good that India is again back in Afghanistan. They have a presence and they continue to help the people of Afghanistan, whether it's with medicine or whether it's with, wheat for the people.
We're going to do part two of this discussion and post online at democracynow.org. Bilal Sarwawi, Afghan journalist, and also the latest news out of Reuters. U.S. and Taliban officials are talking about the possibility of unfreezing assets. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Violence with these horrific atrocities that the junta has carried out, there can be no business as usual with this regime.
The execution of four democracy activists, Jimmy Jomin-Yu, Piu Zeyadaw, Law Man Ong, and Ong Thia Zo, by Myanmar's military junta has received widespread international condemnation.
The United States said Monday that all options were on the table as it considered its response.
The four men were sentenced to death in closed-door trials in January and April. They were accused of carrying out terror acts against the army that seized power in a coup last year, which unleashed a bloody crackdown on its opponents. Self-exiled journalist Ong Nang So says the international community needs to take action.
Many people are frustrated on the action of the international community. It's just words, you know. It's like, oh, we will do this, we worry, we did that, blah, 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 you know. It's nothing in action, you know. If there is anything in action, such kind of execution would not happen.
Amnesty International's Kiara San Giorgio said the executions were an enormous setback and called for increased efforts to put accountability mechanisms in place.
We have seen again and again through the developments and the appalling human rights record of the military authorities in Myanmar since February 2021 that the more space they're left with, the more they tend to escalate. And the death penalty with the more than 100 death sentences being imposed by military tribunals in deeply unfair proceedings is a clear example of what they are capable of, and that of the fact that they're not going to stop there.
Tom Andrews is the UN Special Rapporteur on the human rights situation in Myanmar.
I am afraid that even more floodgates are now opening, and that there is even going to be less restraint on the part of the junta to continue its attacks on the people of Myanmar and to try to instill fear, even more fear, in the population.
Andrew says that with 140 people on death row, the executions, Myanmar's first in decades, indicates that the junta intends to carry out those sentences. A spokesperson for the junta last month defended the death penalty, saying it was justified and used in many countries.
And that clip was a clip related to our topic today from Reuters. Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Today, we bring you an update on the crisis of the violent military occupation of Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. Earlier this week, the military occupiers of Myanmar executed four human rights campaigners. They were found guilty in secret trials. There was a military coup in Myanmar carried out on February 1st, 2021. People responded with peaceful protests, with garment workers, the majority of whom are women, at the forefront of the protests. The military responded by killing thousands, and many more have been arrested, and rape and torture happen while they are in custody. Many may recall that the military, in an earlier operation, committed genocide and other atrocities against the Rohingya people. Other lesser-known ethnic groups were also attacked and brutalized. Hundreds of thousands were forced to flee their homes. In this round of conflict, thousands have also been forced to flee, including the tribal Karen people, many of whom have had to flee into the forests with their children. International outrage is growing, in part as a result of the recent executions, but also a global campaign has been launched against fashion brands still doing business in Myanmar, despite a call from trade unions in Myanmar for fashion brands to pull out. And to pull out in a way that ensures transparency and that compensation be paid to workers and that they contribute humanitarian aid to the people in Myanmar. Well-known brands in the United States still doing business in Myanmar include Adidas, Guess, H&M, and Zara. Wages of garment workers are approximately 250 cents a day. Those of you who shop for these items and in these stores, we have to pay attention. There's a bill in the U.S. Congress now called the Burma Act, calling for sanctions against the Myanmar military, as well as for humanitarian aid to the people. The bill is now held up in the U.S. Senate. However, the bill does not call for companies based in the U.S. to pull out of Myanmar, but there is a grassroots movement that's growing, demanding that they pull out. Many companies that have pulled out of the Ukraine in protest of the Russian invasion of that country, nevertheless, have remained in Myanmar. Under the banner, Myanmar Military, Never in Fashion, a series of protests have been held in London, England, against brands, including Primark, who are still doing business in Myanmar. Our guests today are Keng Zarun, president of the Industrial Workers Federation of Myanmar, and Laura Watson of Myanmar Military, Never in Fashion, and the Global Women's Strike. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated, so on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Now for our news headlines.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Christina Onnested. The Federal Reserve is expected to increase interest rates today for the second time in recent weeks in an effort to stymie inflation, though critics like Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren have warned increased interest rates in a slowing economy could trigger a recession. Mary Sherman has more.
Two negative quarters of GDP growth is not the technical definition of recession.
As the White House braces for a potentially dour economic report, National Economic Advisor Brian Deese told reporters the nation's fiscal stability is measured by more than GDP and inflation.
The most important question economically is whether working people and middle-class families have more breathing room, they have more job opportunities, their wages are going up in a stable way, and they're able to afford important things in their lives.
New GDP numbers will be released tomorrow, which analysts predict will be negative for the second quarter in a row. On Tuesday, new data revealed consumer confidence fell in July to the lowest level since February 2021. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman.
Former President Donald Trump returned to Washington Tuesday for the first time since leaving office. He delivered a speech repeating the false claim that he won the 2020 presidential election and teased a possible presidential campaign in 2024. Eileen Alfandari reports.
Former President Donald Trump sprinkled his hour-and-a-half-long speech with references to the 2020 presidential election. He repeated the lie that he really won and teased the possibility that he'll run again in 2024.
I always say I ran the first time and I won. Then I ran a second time and I did much better. We got millions and millions more votes. And you know what? That's going to be a story for a long time, what a disgrace it was, but we may just have to do it again.
Trump denounced the January 6th committee, which has been building the case that he was responsible for assembling and dispatching the mob that attacked the Capitol to prevent certification of Joe Biden's win.
Now we have the January 6th unselect committee of political hacks and thugs.
Trump addressed a summit organized by a group of former White House officials and cabinet members who've been crafting an agenda for a possible second Trump administration. Hours earlier, former Vice President Mike Pence addressed a conservative student group. He said the Republican Party must look to the future. It was a contrast to Trump's message, but Pence turned aside a question about their differences.
I don't know that our movement is that divided.
I'm Eileen Alfandari for Pacifica Radio.
A man who attacked police officers with poles during the Capitol siege has been sentenced to more than 5 years in prison. It's the longest prison term so far among hundreds of Capitol riot prosecutions. More than 200 other Trump supporters who stormed the Capitol on January 6th have been sentenced so far. 800 face prosecutions. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee are expected to grill the CEOs of firearm manufacturers today during a congressional panel on gun violence. The topic of the hearing is the gun industry's role on the nation's epidemic of gun violence. It comes after a series of mass shootings, including in Highland Park, Illinois, Uvalde, Texas, Buffalo, New York, and Laguna Woods, California. The Gun Violence Archive reports more than 25,000 gun violence deaths and 371 mass shootings in the U.S. so far this year. President Biden plans to speak with Chinese President Xi Jinping Thursday amidst new tensions between Washington, D.C. and Beijing over China's claims to Taiwan. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reportedly plans to visit the island, which governs itself, even though China considers it a part of its territory. U.S. military officials say they will beef up military presence in and around the region should Xi take that trip. The Biden administration is weighing whether to declare a monkeypox as a public health emergency. This comes days after the World Health Organization director made the declaration Monday. Here's Dr. Anthony Fauci.
There are now over 80 countries throughout the world who have cases, more than 16,000 cases in non-endemic countries. So this is something we're taking very seriously.
Impacted cities like San Francisco have decried the federal government's response so far to the monkeypox outbreak in the U.S. A woman in Texas was denied abortion access despite carrying a dying fetus, in line with Texas's abortion ban that severely curtails abortion access. Another woman in Texas was forced to carry her dead fetus for 2 weeks after she miscarried due to Texas's abortion ban. It's one of many repercussions in a post-Roe world since the Supreme Court overturned the landmark abortion rights ruling Roe v. Wade. A sexual assault survivor told the Associated Press she was opting for sterilization, so if she were to be raped again, she wouldn't be forced to give birth to a rapist child. Amnesty International says the Taliban's suffocating crackdown on the rights of Afghan women and girls is destroying their lives. The London-based watchdog said in a new report that since the Taliban took control of the country nearly a year ago, they've violated women's and girls' rights. They've banned girls from attending school from seventh grade, imposed all-covering dresses that leaves only the eyes visible, and restricted women's access to work. I'm Christina Onnestad, reporting for Pacifica Radio.
Right, and this is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. Today, we focus on the crisis in Myanmar. The Myanmar military junta has executed four activists who have been campaigning for their democracy and against the military occupation. This is the same army which repressed ethnic groups for decades and carried out the genocide of the Rohingya people, forcing hundreds of thousands into exile. Women workers and trade union leaders in the garment industry were among the first to oppose the coup, and thousands have been killed, arrested, and tortured. The thousands more have been detained, and some have been raped. As of June 10th, 2022, the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners, AAPP, recorded that 1,929 people had been killed by the junta since the coup, while more than 11,000 people were under detention. Now, mega fast fashion corporations are failing to protect garment workers in Myanmar's supply chain. The majority of the workers are women and women identified, with labor and human rights violations surging across the country since the military coup in February 2021. According to a new report compiled by the Business and Human Rights Resource Center, an international NGO that tracks the human rights impacts of companies. The study was released this past Tuesday, and we'll be hearing more about that during the hour. Now, U.S. companies, as I mentioned, companies that are based in the U.S., they're international, but they're based in the U.S., that are still doing business in Myanmar include Adidas, Guess, H&M, and Zara. And as I said in the intro, keep in mind that the wages of garment workers are approximately $250 a week. Now, there is a growing grassroots movement calling for these fashion brands to pull out of Myanmar under the banner "Myanmar Military Never in Fashion." A series of protests have been held in London, England, against these brands, including Primark, which may not be a brand familiar to some of our listeners in some of the cities across the U.S., but very much based there. What we're going to do now, we are going to go to hear some of the voices who participated in the protest that took place recently in London, England. Let's go to that clip right now.
Today we are here outside H&M, Zara, and Primark, yay, and other brands who are still operating in Myanmar, yay, despite the military coup in February 2021. Yay. We're supporting calls from the trade unions in Myanmar, including garment workers, who we've been working with on this issue. targeted for arrest, and some have been killed by the military. Military personnel have been deployed at factory gates, arresting workers who don't support the dictatorship. And working hours, working conditions have plummeted, with long hours for little or no pay, trade unions not recognised, and factories closed, with no compensation for the workers.
Shame! Shame!
How can brands claiming ethical standards continue to operate under the military regime in Myanmar? Today we're doing a speak out alongside H&M, and I invite others to come up and speak. And then we will march down to Zara, who is also still producing clothes in factories in Myanmar.
Shame on them!
And then we will continue further down the road to Primark, who are also still there, refusing to leave despite standards not being abided by. The due diligence needed to protect their workers. And we demand a responsible exit by the brand.
Zara never gets away. Wherever they are, we're going to be following Zara and the others. And I was a trade unionist for 40 years. And I have to say, I'm amazed at the bravery and tenacity of the trade unionists and the women who are fighting the military in Myanmar. And we stand with them because people like this are ripping them off and ripping us off as well. And I wanted to say, you know, Zara, its profits in 1 year were over $3 billion. $3 billion. And if you go to H&M, theirs were over $1 billion. And if you go to Primark, theirs were over $1 billion. And let me say right now, this coup and this military operation is all about money and greed, and it's their greed as well as the military. This is an employer's coup. And you know what the minimum wage is in Myanmar, and this tells you what the coup is about and why Zara is not leaving. The minimum wage is $2.50, not an hour, a day. That's what they're after. And when you buy clothes from these people, and this didn't happen just with the coup, it got worse with the coup. More people were driven down into the minimum wage. But even before that, you were being ripped off. They're making money off the backs, blood, sweat, and tears of the women who work in those factories. And there's nothing now to protect them but us in a certain way. They're fighting back in every way they can, but they need the international community, you and me and all of us, to stand up as we have seen people stand up and be against the war in the Ukraine. And we call on refuseniks in Russia and refuseniks in the Ukraine. We're opposed to that war, because it's sucking everybody's wealth, and we are getting poorer, all of us are getting poorer, and the people in Myanmar are also getting poorer by this coup and being supported by these people who, by the way, have pulled out of Russia. And we say we are going to stand with the people of Myanmar and with those women from those factories and those trade unions who have been fighting non-stop We're in the leadership of the movement against the coup. We stand with them now. We stand with them to the end of this coup. We call solidarity, and we're going to be working on their behalf. This whole military coup being about money. Them stealing money from people in Myanmar and stealing money from us here. And it's an employer's coup, and it was done by Primark and all of these fashion brands, among others. And I wanted to watch your back. Make it.
Watch your back. Watch your back. He works for Primark.
Yeah, right. He works for Primark, yeah. And as I said, Primark's pre-tax profits last year were $1.3 billion. That's what they made. But I wanted to make another point to personalize this in some way and to point out there's a CEO of Primark made $9 million last year. An individual. While the women in Myanmar were making $2.50 an hour, not an hour, sorry, a day, he made $9 million. And that's only the beginning of what he made. That was his straight pay. Now, if you go to Inditex, Zara, the guy made $11 million. And if you go to H&M, the CEO, they doesn't even publicize his pay, but he made £608 million. £608 million on the stocks that he owns in Primark. And his total wealth is $1.3 billion. And I ask you to contrast that with $2.50 a day. This is a murderous ripoff of everybody.
We're here to make sure that people are aware that companies like Primark, Zara, Guess, H&M are supporting murderous, genocidal dictatorships in places like my own birth country of Burma or Myanmar. I am British here, but I came from Burma, where the regime, the military regime, had committed a full-scale textbook example of genocide against Muslim Rohingya minority. You know, genocide simply means destruction of an entire community because of their faith, creed, race, or nationality. And Primark's business partner in Burma is a genocidal military regime. And after having slaughtered and destroyed the lives of an upward of about 2 million Rohingya Muslims, the Burmese military turned on its own Buddhist society. And in the last 15 months since the coup in February 2021, the military had summarily executed or otherwise slaughtered 1,800 students, workers, trade unionists on the streets of major cities for simply protesting peacefully for the return of civilian rule, the kind of civilian rule we have in Britain.
Murder!
They've also locked up about 20,000 men, women, elderly people, and held hostage of family members of political dissidents when the dissidents found their way to safety across the border in Thailand, India, and Bangladesh. I call on you to boycott, that is, to not buy anything, to not do business with corporations like Primark. That is financing that has blood on their hands, the blood of innocent men, women, children, and elderly people around the world. Of course, I'm speaking as a Burmese, and so I appreciate the solidarity that you may show towards the Burmese people struggling to end the military dictatorship.
My name's Jay. I'm from a campaign called No Sweat. We've joined forces with the Global Women's Strike to develop this campaign called Myanmar Military Never in Fashion. It's a coalition of about 200 organizations from over 20 countries around the world that are standing in solidarity with the workers of Myanmar. Last year, in August, two of the biggest trade unions in Myanmar put out a call for international brands to cease production. As you've heard, the situation in Myanmar is devastating. The military coup is causing absolute horror for the people of that country. And the workers have reached a point where they feel that it is impossible for them to continue operating business as usual. The brands can't do any due diligence. The trade unions have been outlawed. In some cases, they've been labeled terrorists. They have called on us to stand together with them and call on the big brands like Primark to withdraw. But we don't want anyone to cut and run. We don't want people to suffer worse, more than they are already. Primark and the other international brands have the financial power to protect their workers by ceasing production. We have remember something called furlough that happened under the pandemic just a few years ago. It is possible for the international brands to come together and furlough their Burmese workers without infringing a fraction of their billion-dollar profits. It would cost in the millions, and it would help save lives and put pressure on the Myanmar military to step down from the actions they've been taking and help restore democracy. There is a responsibility of the brands to do right by their workers. And by doing right by their workers, in this instance, involves a humanitarian effort. They need to put their money where their mouths are, withdraw their production, and put pressure on the military to step down.
It can start with his £9 million,
exactly. So here we are today at one of the flagship stores of Primark. And we call on any executives that might be on the top floors up here to come down and speak with us. We're not against you. We want to work with you to help protect the workers of Myanmar. So come and have a conversation. Because if you won't speak to us today, we will keep coming back. We will keep the pressure on. We will keep hassling you on social media. We will keep writing statements. We will keep building our campaign until you do the decent thing and put people before profit and actually stand up to the code of conduct that you've developed. No military, no fashion in Myanmar.
Alrighty, there you heard. That was some grassroots street action, a protest that happened in the street demanding that fashion brands pull out of Myanmar. And the voices you heard first was actually one of our guests today, Laura Watson, who is with the campaign demanding Myanmar military never in fashion. Also, Sam Weinstein, who was a trade unionist in the United States. He's now based in London, England, speaking out in support. You also heard from Maoj Zarni, who is with the Renewal South East Asia and Free Rohingya Coalition. And the last voice you heard was Jay Kerr, who is with No Sweat. And No Sweat, along with the Global Women's Strike, they coordinate this campaign, Myanmar Military Never in Fashion. We're going to take a short station break, and then when we return, we have two guests that will be joining us to go into more detail about what is happening on the ground now, how the movement is responding, and the response also from the military and the international community. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
All right.
That is ABBA, Money, Money, Money in a Rich Man's World. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. If you're a member of Facebook, you can like and friend us there. Our handle on Instagram and Twitter at So True Radio. We're also heard nationwide and worldwide on SoundCloud. And today we'd like to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners in the state of New Jersey. And internationally, we would like to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners in the UK. We are doing an in-depth show today on the crisis that is the military coup that has taken place in Myanmar. Four human rights campaigners were recently executed. Thousands have been killed, tortured, raped. People are forced to flee their homes, and so much more. I'd like to welcome our two guests that will be with us for the rest of the hour. I'd like to welcome Kang Zar Ung, who is a labor union president of the Industrial Workers Federation of Myanmar. Kang, thank you for joining us.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
Okay, I'd also like to welcome Laura Watson, who is with the Myanmar Military Never in Fashion campaign. She is with the Global Women's Strike, and she's based in London, England. Laura, welcome.
Thank you very much for having us.
Okay, so Kang, we're going to start with you. Just a horrific situation happening there. But to give our listeners a sense, and by the way, it is $250 a day. So, well, that's still pretty horrific. But Kang, you worked as a garment worker. Give our listeners just a sense of what your work day was like and the conditions under which you worked when you were a garment worker, Kang.
Yes, yes, I was a garment worker, and I started working in a factory at my age 16 years old. So at the time, I had to leave home by 6 a.m. To start working at 7:30. And I finished my work at 10 p.m. and I arrived back home 11:30. And I had to work 7 days a week and no day off. And one day off in a month only after payday. But I did not have a day off after payday because the supervisor always told us the orders are important to be shifted. That's why we did not have the day off sometimes, even in a month. And even I have to work very long working hour, no day off in a month. I only could earn $10 per month at the time. $10 at the time is not enough, even for one woman. Because we do work in the garment factory, I have to get a rent to stay. So I have to pay like $3 for a space for one mat to sleep. So the rest of the money, you see, we have to pay for the water base and other. So really, it was a disaster, difficult to survive. Even for the one person with that very small amount of money. And workers who want to support back to their family, we only have to eat boiled vegetable. Women workers could not buy even the enough underwear. We have the health problem because since we did not have enough the underwear, we have a hygiene problem, you know? So that was how I passed in my garment worker life. I have seen it in the workplace also. Yeah.
Yeah, just horrific conditions. But tell us now about, because you went back, you left for a while the country, then you returned out of the country doing organizing as a trade unionist, and you were able to win some rights as a trade unionist. Tell us about that and how that has now shifted, how the rights that you were able to win are now being undermined by this military junta, Kang.
Yes. You know, I joined trade union in Azai, Thai-Burma border in 2007. So we did underground movement for the worker rights and trade union rights and democracy movement. So we could return to Myanmar in 2012, November. Then we have, we organized workers, we educate the workers, we fought for our rights. We formed the trade unions in Sada. And when we could brought to the workers, in 2015, we won the first minimum wage for the workers. It was $3.6 per day. You know, at the time, the workers were earning 0.50 cents per day. So we won five times, at least six times, of the basic salary at the time in 2015. And before, the worker did not have a day off in a week, but we made sure worker have a paid day off in a week. And also workers used to pay social security benefit, social security fee, but they have never got the benefit. But we made sure worker have a social security benefit, including maternity leave. And maternity leave is a six weeks before giving birth, 8 weeks after giving birth. And we made sure the women pregnant workers got the cash benefit for giving birth. And also leave in holiday. In Myanmar, workers did not get the pay leave. But we make sure workers have a paid leave of the casual leave or annual leave, medical leave. So that we brought the workers. And since the workers, the trade unions we could form at the workplace, we make sure the overtime, the factory call overtime according to the law, meaning only 16 hours a week. Before we have to work over 100 overtime in a week,
right.
in a month. So we make sure workers worker have a right to say we don't want to work overtime. So all these things we fought for, so we win in the 8 years before the coup.
Right, and I would like you to talk a bit about the conditions since the coup. But I'd like to first go to Laura Watson and bring you into this discussion, because you are part of this campaign very much in the UK now, but you're hoping for global support, including in the United States, about Myanmar military never in fashion. Tell us, what is that campaign and who are supporters? What level of support you're getting, and what are your demands?
Laura. Yes, of course. Yes. Hi, thank you. Well, the campaign was launched with a statement in support of the trade union and organization, civil society organizations, call for comprehensive economic sanctions, basically, which includes the fashion brands to cease production in Myanmar and implement a responsible exit. We did a statement which we gathered support of over 200 organizations from over 20 countries, which includes trade unionists from all over, civil society organizations. So for example, here in the UK, supported by all of the major trade unions, the Trade Union Congress, It's supported by global trade unions, industrial and ITUC. In the US, there are many organizations supporting trade unions. The AFL-CIO Solidarity Center are supporting the campaign. So there is a lot of support for this call and for the call that the trade union movement and grassroots, the Labour Myanmar Alliance in Myanmar are calling for. And we're a women's organisation, obviously the Global Women's Strike. So it was our responsibility to make visible women's opposition to the military and to the coup. And we wanted to support the resilient and courageous movement. And this includes obviously garment workers who, as you heard from our protest outside the shops, were the first to oppose the coup in February 2021 and are obviously remain central to the civil disobedience movement in Myanmar, which is absolutely massive. And, you know, even now there are, you know, just to give you an idea, there's 400,000 civil servants on strike still now. There are still a protest. There were protests, you know, we were distraught and we're completely outraged about the executions of the four political prisoners and have been horrified at the repression and the killings since last year. Since the executions, there have been flash protests in Yangon and also in other places in Myanmar. And in the prison where they were killed, the other prisoners rioted in response. The protesters there are risking their lives protesting. In Bangkok, 500 people were protesting outside the embassy, and there were protests from what we know of in New York and in London and also in Germany as well, and I'm sure there were more that we just don't know about. So there's lots of things going on. There's an international grassroots movement in support of Myanmar, but it's just so outrageous that here's another coup allowed to happen, and the governments of the world are doing little or nothing to prevent what's happening, and are just allowing it to continue and giving credibility in some ways to the Myanmar government. So we are supporting the call for comprehensive sanctions and saying that, you know, you can't give credibility to this regime, who is, you know, the same military who's actually facing a trial of genocide at the International Court of Justice for the genocide of the Rohingya people. This is the same military and have now, as you heard, turned on their own people and and are killing with impunity. So we need the companies that are investing in Myanmar and giving credibility to the government to pull out immediately, but responsibly. We don't just want them to cut and run. We need a responsible exit from the brands, to be responsible to the workers there, but not giving money to the government through whatever way, through taxes or through however it is, electricity bills, however they are paying, you know, they have to leave in order, you know, to undermine the military and to force them to step down is essentially our goal in the campaign.
Right. Thank you for that, Laura and Kang. Back to you now. Earlier, you described your life as a garment worker, but then also the campaigning and what the unions on the ground were able to achieve. And I'd like you now to talk, to share with our audience a bit of what has happened with those rights since the coup. And we also understand that garment workers have really been at the forefront of the resistance movement of the coup and have paid a very heavy price for that. So just tell us, what is the situation on the ground now with garment workers and people who like the brands, Guess Jeans, and they go and get the fast fashion in Zara and H&M, also Adidas. People love Adidas. They need to know what the workers who are producing these items are going through right now. Kang.
Yes. After the coup, we Industrial Worker Federation of Myanmar, we have a decision. We don't accept the coup. We have to fight back. So we organize our members in the garment factory, and our member join the demonstration. Since the coup happened, together with other trade unions and the people from Myanmar. So because of the trade unions, we participate in the demonstration. The military trying to arrest all the trade union leaders, and we now the CDUM, IWFM, our trade union federation, confederation level leadership all have an arrest warrant. Some got arrested, and my basketball is answer. And the CDUM National Center president citizenship was terminated. At the factory level, the trade union leaders have been handed by the military, not only at the workplaces, but also in at their homes, on their streets. So it happened, until now it's happening. They are searching for the trade union leaders. And the factory also provide the trade union leader list, member list, in the addresses to the military with the photo of the leadership. So that's why at the factory level, workplace level, trade unions cannot operate. And some of the workers, the trade union member, they were arrested within the while they are working in the factory. Even though they have been released from the investigation center, they are dismissed. So because of trade union leaders are under operation, the factories announced collective bargaining agreement are canceled. And then now workers have to work less than $2 a day now, and they are forced to work overtime. And without pay, there are many complaints the workers did not get their overtime pay. And even though some factories they pay overtime, they ask workers to work like 13 to 17 hours a day. Now workers do not want to work. And now the Sunday is pay day, but they all with pay. But many factories now ask the worker to work on Sunday. So worker doesn't have the time to spend with their family, and also leave, including the medical leave, worker are not allowed to take leave. If they take leave, if they are getting sick, they are told not to come back next day, or after 2 days, they are dismissed. So it is happening. And then, because of this situation, now pregnant women workers, they are not getting maternity leave now. There are several reports the pregnant women workers, they got dismissed. And then no social security benefits at all now. And the physical abuse at the workplace are now increasing. Now the workers, there are cases workers, the supervisor throw at the worker with the iron, or they beat the worker to their heads or chest. So there are a lot of report about the physical abuse. Also, we have got a sexual abuse, and we're trying to shut that down, but you know, because of the pressure of the management, the not only the victim, the women workers, that her mother and the brother who are working at the factory have to leave. So this is a situation, and workers are facing now at the garment shutdown.
Right. And this is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, and we're doing a special on the crisis of the military coup, military dictatorship happening in Myanmar. And this impacts all of us because there are brands, the fast fashion brands like Zara, like H&M, Adidas, Guess, they are, you know, products made by garment workers on the ground in Myanmar, and there is a call for them to withdraw from Myanmar, but to do that responsibly, to make sure that the workers are properly compensated and also that they offer humanitarian aid to the workers. In the few minutes, just a few minutes that we have left, time really flies. Laura, I'd like you to say a little bit about the response, if any, from the UK government, from elected officials. Are any of them standing in support of the kinds of demands you're making? We know that in the United States, there is this Burma bill that is in the Senate right now. The bill does call for sanctions, but it doesn't call for the brands to pull out. So just quickly, Laura, what kind of reaction are you getting from elected officials?
Yes, just very quickly. I mean, the government has said that they're outraged by the coup and that they have done some very, very limited sanctions, mostly on individual generals and their assets here. So we and there are members of the opposition parties in parliament who are calling for more action, especially since the executions this week. But especially, I mean, the UK ambassador in Myanmar was actually kicked out recently because he refused to give his credentials to the Myanmar military, and they've thrown him out. He has said, you know, worded a statement against the Myanmar military, and we're expecting the UK to retaliate because there is. What they call a military attaché here in London who is based here, and so there are calls for him to be removed and not allowed to be here any longer.
Right, we just have about a minute left, and Ken, just the last word. You'll have the last word here. We know the Biden administration, they issued executive orders on blocking property. There is the Burma bill in the U.S. Senate. We know they don't go far enough. Are you calling on people here in the United States to support those efforts, Kiang, and anything you might want to add to that? We just have, unfortunately, less than a minute before we have to wrap up. Kiang.
Yes, I would like to say that now brands in EU, standard organization, they are trying to have the grievance mechanism to to protect worker rights. But we cannot protect worker rights under the military dictatorship. And why the industry zone are under martial law. And whenever worker went on strike, the military present at the factory. So in this situation, for the brands, they have to make a decision to leave from Myanmar responsibly. There is no way to do due diligence, human rights due diligence in Myanmar. They are not doing so. So
right.
Please make a decision and then help the workers.
Right. On that note, we are going to have to leave it there, but we're going to continue to cover this story. We really want to thank the Global Women's Strike for helping us pulling this show together. I'd like to thank both of our guests. We're out of time, so we're going to have to leave it here. If you'd like a copy of today's show, contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230. We'd like to thank Alicia Vargas, our assistant producer. We'd like to thank the Board Op, our engineer today, Gary Baca. This is your host, Margaret Prescott, who produced today's show. Please stay tuned for Democracy Now! Sojourner Truth. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and you all, please, stay well and safe. Build your penitentiary.
Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap.